Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
David, what were those strange sounds?
Well, that's called music.
I want to hear more music.
Can you pick up radio waves?
I'm equipped to receive over 2 million forms of radio waves. How's this?
No, that's not music. Try another station.
Get around, round, round, get around. Joanie DeMito, a Tuesday afternoon. What movie best represents your childhood? It's the X Platform question of the day. The X Platform brought to you by Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Do you notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls? Well,
I have not.
If you have, unlike Joe, the experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection if you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors. Visit aquaguard.net.
Would I be out of line if I said The Exorcist? A little bit of that Catholic fear. I think I was like 9. And I was like, whoa, yeah, you better believe. Look at what happened here. Why would somebody take me to that movie at 9?
I have no earthly idea.
Do you think it was somebody trying to instill the fear of Catholic fear into me?
Yeah, I mean, even my parents, as abusive at times as they were, wouldn't do something like that.
That's alarming.
It is kind of alarming, actually. I stand with Joe on that one.
Is there a chance these two movies came out in the same year? I'm going to tell you about one other one in a second. Is there a chance that The Exorcist came out the same year as Blazing Saddles? Because that is really...
a strong possibility.
I was taken to both of those movies in the movie theater.
Neither one of them
are appropriate for a child. That's A to Z.
In any way, shape, or form.
You know what other one I remember going to see in the movie theater? My dad was such a big, like, World War II. I saw Tora in the movie theater. I think I was 6, 7, maybe. No, it's a real thing. It happens.
Sounds political.
I'm not commenting.
It does kind of sound political.
Do you know Tora? Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, look, Tora is the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Geez. I was like, brought you to that at 6?
I think so. See if that came out in 69 or 70, because I think I might have been 6 or 7.
Exorcist was 73, Blazing Saddles was 74, so you weren't
11,
too far off.
10 there. And 11. And what about Tora?
1970.
I'm 7 years old.
Man, suddenly my childhood wasn't so bad. I'd rather get hit. It's over quick.
Just telling you, I just remember that. It was in the same shopping center as Pathmark, like right down at the end, you know?
Yeah.
When movie theaters only had 2 theaters and they were down at the end of a strip mall. That's what it was.
How about that?
And some housekeeping. Mayor Winningham, I think you confused her with Ally Sheedy.
No. St. Elmo's Fire was the movie I was thinking of with Demi Moore.
Okay.
I was right about Demi Moore. I just acquiesced to something about last night.
Stupid show.
But it was St. Elmo's Fire. Mayor Winningham.
Well, I talked about getting hit. The NCAA hit Michigan. Now, this is not sign-stealing deal.
Oh, okay.
This is the COVID dead period, the cheeseburger violation. 3 years probation. Based on that, for UM, a fine and recruiting restrictions, as well as a one-year show cause for the 5 individuals involved, the NCAA did note that one former coach did not participate in the agreement. And I think we all know who that is.
Is that former coach number
Breaking
one?
News.
Is that former coach number one? Is that how he is described in any of the transcripts?
All they're saying, the former coach did not participate in the agreement.
Doesn't sound to me
and
like...
that former coach is now in the NFL, and I think we all know who that is.
I'm not going to be speculating.
So if they got hit with this...
for a cheeseburger.
What are they going to get hit with for the sign stealing?
I don't know. Do they... again, Jim's got a show cause already for a cheeseburger, allegedly. What's the big one going to... When the hammer... well, we'll see. That's not a hammer, by the way. Did they not even say what the restrictions are? So it's not a bowl game.
I think
they said scholarships?
Yes. If you dig deeper into the story, I'm sure you're going to have more answers.
What did they lose? 5 scholarships, maybe? I don't know. Doesn't sound like it was I don't know. Very
painful. All it says is recruiting restrictions.
Oh, you might not be able to have them in there for a period of a few more days, whatever. Who cares?
Now you can do all this stuff. That's the ironic thing. You can do whatever you want now.
You can give them cheeseburgers.
You can give them McDonald's.
You can give them cheese.
It's all yours, the franchise.
You can give them cheeseburgers made of $100 bills. Like right there in the middle of the buns. You could put $100 bills and everybody be like, hey, look at that. Money. Nobody cares.
Nope. Money is every place in college, obviously.
If you're cheating now, I'd fire you. And here's what I'm going to put in your contract. College basketball, college football, college anything. If you get caught cheating now, we don't owe you anything.
Because I was going to say, obviously, this is laughable. For a cheeseburger, this is what you got because at the time, you couldn't give anybody a cheeseburger.
Well, we talked about ham sandwiches.
Again, you can give somebody a franchise now. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we joked.
This entire McDonald's is yours.
We joked about a Zaxby's card. I could give you a Zaxby's. I can give you the whole thing, including the parking lot. If you get caught cheating now, there should be a clause in every contract. If you do something so egregious that you cheat now with all of these non-rules, I shouldn't have to pay you. I should be able to fire you. That's my cause, and you get no money. What would you have to do to be cheating? We found out cream cheese was breaking the rules years ago.
So,
giving a ride to the airport or the train station was illegal.
I don't think you can give somebody flat out a bag full of cash. Like, allegedly, that's what Jeremy Pruitt's wife did when they were at Tennessee. She gave a Chick-fil-A bag stuffed with cash.
Well, Chick-fil-A is now involved. That's an NIL to me.
I'm not sure you can do that.
I don't know what you can't do, but if you're cheating now, you should be fired. And I don't have to pay you a dollar.
And Jeremy Pruitt did, and you get fired.
And you have to wear a T-shirt that says, I'm stupid. That's what you have to do for a year. You want my show cause? There's my show cause. Every day you go out of your house, it's a T-shirt that says, I'm stupid.
And your family members have to wear the shirt with the arrow pointing at you that says, I'm with stupid. That all has to happen.
I think your family should be able to disown you as well. We should be able to get out of you being my parent.
Get out of the familia contract, if you will. The Braves beat the Astros last night 6-1. Darius Vines struggles early on, settles in. The bullpen outstanding, and the Braves tack on 4 as they had a 2-1 lead going into the ninth to make it 6-1 as the final.
Austin. And didn't do it with home runs. What was the other part about that?
Austin Riley, incidentally, now has a 9-game hitting streak. Good. He's hitting .359 during that hitting streak. Marcelo Zuna got a hit during that rally in the ninth inning to extend his streak to 14 games. Those are your WellStar Well Stats of the day. From managing chronic conditions to staying on top of your screenings, the experts at WellStar will partner with you to help you feel your best. Together, we can create a personalized game plan to help keep you healthy. Visit WellStar.org today. WellStar, more than healthcare, people care.
Can I do an aw damn?
Mm-hmm.
Whitey Herzog passed away at 92, but so did Carl Erskine at 97. That one hurts a little bit. Both Hall of Famers. He got put in the Buck O'Neill.
And you talked to both of them, right?
Oh, yeah. I called Whitey
Herzog.
Are they
in your bag of souls?
They are. Carl Erskine, I just called probably 5 months ago. And Carl Erskine, he's the one who I think, as much as anybody, talked about Jackie Robinson, the man, and kept that story alive as much as anybody. 97 years old. The last of, I believe, that 55 Brooklyn Dodgers team.
My favorite Whitey Herzog story is when Gary Templeton was playing for the Cardinals. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're the baseball historian. It was Ladies Day at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Gary Templeton was having a rough afternoon. And Gary Templeton, as he was getting booed, decides to gesture to the crowd and grab his crotch.
Yeah, he grabbed his junk.
Whitey literally grabs him and yanks him into the dugout and wanted to kill him. And after that, he was traded to the San Diego Padres for Ozzie Smith. So the deal worked out for the Cardinals. Maybe it's a good thing Gary Templeton grabbed his junk like he did. Because they got Ozzie Smith as a result.
It might be the greatest junk grab ever. You were in trouble for a minute, but boy, this turned out okay.
I just remember as a kid, you would get the Sports Illustrated. There was photos of him pulling Gary Templeton into the dugout. They're somewhere on the internet, I'm sure.
Do you know that here was the problem for Tony La Russa? He was never going to beat Whitey Herzog. Whitey Herzog, Midwestern guy. You know what Whitey Herzog, people don't know this. He was with the Mets in the 60s. He helped put together that 69 Mets team. He was in their minor leagues. He was known as the smartest guy. Seriously, he was known as the smartest guy around baseball in the 60s. And then he eventually gets the job as manager. But Tony La Russa's problem was Tony was a wine drinking. I think he might have been a no meat guy. Whitey was beer. Like Whitey has a story. He told me about it. That the Budweiser people, he might have been the first guy in baseball.
I had a pool, Chris, was filled with Budweiser.
At least.
Drink my way out of it.
They built a pond in his backyard. It was a beer pond. No, but he had a refrigerator. And he might have been the first manager to have a refrigerator. with beers in it. Like,
and nobody disguised it back then.
Oh,
you would sit there and you would smoke and you would drink with the writers, and they would smoke and drink with you.
No doubt about it. But he got
it. Off the record, right, gentlemen?
I think he got a Clydesdale one day. No, I don't know about that. I think I might have made that up. But yeah, he was a man's man. Still had a little bit of the crew cut left to the end. And Carl Erskine was just as nice as a guy. Damn, 97 years old.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to live forever.
No, good for him.
It's nice that you had the opportunity to speak with these legends of the game.
Carl Erskine was, I'm not kidding, he kept the legacy of that team, the city, and that team. But really, he told more stories about Jackie Robinson, the man.
Can I make a suggestion for your hardball show?
Sure, go ahead.
Saturday?
Do I double up two guys who just passed away?
If you have them at the ready.
It's a little bit sad. Yeah, I could get them.
It's a tribute, Chris.
It's a tribute.
That's what it is.
Homage.
Like, when you go, the following day, we're going to have a tribute.
Is it going to be what? Fake me? Like my questions of the day that have never really been my questions.
There may be some drops here and there, and we may share some memories. Yeah, a little bit of everything, because I think you would have wanted it that way.
I do hope you raise a glass, as they say. That's the Irish in me. Let's not cry. Let's laugh a little bit.
And last night, nobody was laughing if they were rooting for the Astros. Young Joe Espada taking over for Dusty Baker brings in Josh Hader in a 2-1 game. In the ninth inning, your $95 million closer, who after last night pitched three times in the last 4 days. I get what you're trying to do in theory, but when it backfires like this, you are going to draw the ire of your fan base. And right now, the Astros, look, it's early. I understand this.
6-12?
But they're 6-12. Yeah. Like, if the Braves were 6-12 right now, everybody would be saying, what's going on around here?
I knew it. Seven straight American League Championship Series. Look, they're not a fast starter. They'll spend money at the trade deadline. You know, they'll go make the acquisition. But when you hear that they don't really have a rotation, they don't have a starting rotation, and the bullpen is going to be a little bit taxed like here, and you don't have quite as many thumpers in your lineup, and they don't. It's stay away from Altuve, stay away from Alvarez. There's other good players. But if you can really not have those guys do damage, you can walk out with certainly 2 out of 3.
And the Braves, this is what the lineup does. I mean, you saw it on Sunday. You saw it last night. As the game goes on, more often than not, they're going to wear you down. But the question is it sustainable? Darius Vines did recover last night. Here's Michael Harris talking about doing what they did against Josh Hader.
Yeah, that was huge against one of the toughest closers in this game. So gives us a lot of confidence and just shows we can, I guess, go up against anybody. We have belief in our bets 1 through 9. So, I mean, it gave us a lot of confidence against a tough guy like Hader.
I also enjoyed the outfield celebration at the end of the game. Adam Duvall runs in, does the gritty, and then everybody gets together and they have the group hug.
5 years ago, if you would have told me Adam Duvall is going to do the gritty anywhere, like even out of sight, I would have said, what are you, crazy? Now he's doing it for the public, for all the world to see. You might as well have a good time, man. Did I tell you about what kind of shape that guy's in?
Adam Duvall?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't sit around eating ice cream.
He did.
All offseason.
He did not. Goodness.
But you're right. To see Matt Olson do the things he's doing, everybody top to bottom is enjoying themselves when it comes to this club.
You understand that wearing this circle thing looks so much like the Taylor Swift heart that you go, these are grown-ass men who are doing things that young women are doing at concerts to tell Taylor that they love her back.
Indeed.
It's really close to that.
And I don't know how many people have noticed, but with Marcelo Ozuna doing what he's doing, the Mix It Up is back. That's been gone for a few years.
I know. I don't know how I feel about it.
If he keeps hitting like this, I got no problem with anything.
He can not have pants.
The yellow sleeve is back.
Yeah, he can not
mix
have
it
pants.
Up is back.
I can do whatever God give me.
Yeah,
he's turning back the clock big time.
Confidence.
He can play in White Sox shorts. He can play in Reds sleeveless jerseys. He can do whatever he wants. Where's my camera, by the way?
It is behind me in front of you, where
it's
always
put.
You're doing
the
heart.
Close to this. It's that close to this. I can't believe any of these guys are doing this stuff. Game has changed, man. What if you would have told?
That's why I think this team is different from the teams
they're
in the
rootable.
90s. They have a personality.
Baseball has allowed them to, and now they do. What if Rocky Colavito would have hit a double and looked at the Indians' dugout and done anything?
They would have
sorting.
They would have thought he was drunk.
Unsheathing.
Is Rocky drinking during the game? That's what they would have thought. It's a different game because it needed to change, and it has. But the guys, the veterans, as we said, are accepting it.
Right.
A guy like Adam Duvall doing what he did last night made me laugh out loud because you don't expect to see that.
Travis d'Arnaud, and I get worried because, again, he's a catcher. When he had a – what was his walk-off hit? And then all of a sudden, he's got to run away from everybody. I get a little bit nervous. Don't chase the catcher. We've only got 1.5 catchers right now. Don't chase him around.
No offense to Chadwick Trump. Yeah, you're right. We have a catcher and a half.
Don't beat him up in a scrum of some sort. Don't dogpile him. That's what I get a little nervous about. But you see guys running away from bottled water. They just run to the outfield.
Yeah, of course.
Somebody's chasing them with bottled water.
It's all a part of the whole celebration. You're going to run away no matter what it is. Tonight, Reynaldo Lopez, hopefully they're celebrating another victory tonight. Hunter Brown. Frank Kord joined us earlier. He is in Houston calling the Braves and Astros for TBS. And he talked about the fact that their starting five is completely depleted. Case in point, this guy in his last start, Hunter Brown, didn't make it out of the first inning against Kansas City. 2/3 of an inning pitched before he finally got yanked by Joe Espada. 9 runs, 11 hits, and a walk. Hunter Brown, that's who's getting the start against the Braves tonight.
In a world where they wanted him to truly eat it, he couldn't even get out of the eat it inning.
It's the worst first inning for a starting pitcher ever in the history of this game.
20 years from now, if he's still the worst, we'll both remember the name Hunter Brown. He might not do anything else in his career. He might turn out to be okay. But we'll know that Hunter Brown is the guy who had that hung on him.
But the attitude you take tonight is there's no place to go but up, right? I mean, I can't be any worse than this.
It's interesting. I said last night with Vines, watch both of these teams jump on the first pitch, because if you think you're going to go 0-1, young guy, without much in your, you know, on your resume, keep an eye on that again tonight.
The one thing I've noticed, it's funny you say that. Ozzie Albies gets an RBI last night as he gets hit in the toe with the bases loaded, and he had the bladder bottle over, like the hot water bottle, the old school hot water bottle over his toe in the dugout. I've noticed that he was a guy that always would swing at that first pitch. He's not doing a lot of that so far.
So here's my summation with Kevin McAlpin about you won with a lot of home runs and a lot of runs and everything else. I think this is the next step of not striking out a lot. It's putting the ball in play. It's being able to hit a single, not trying to actually drive every pitch, know the situation. I can live with 90 feet, especially if I move somebody 180 feet. And I do think they have a chance to win more games without hitting a home run because of the mindset that started last year. Let's strike out less. Let's put the ball in play a little bit more. Let's see what happens.
And Sean Murphy isn't swinging the bat yet. He is throwing as he continues to recover from that strange
oblique. Is he throwing or tossing? Is he getting out of a crouch to throw? My guess is he's not yet. That's my guess.
I read he continued throwing on Monday, whatever that means.
Do you think he's been down in a crouch and popped up to throw?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm going to say no, because Brian Snicker said he is starting to accelerate activity. He was on the treadmill. I know he was just kind of pushing the ball.
Yeah.
The other day.
Well, there you go.
He gets a shot put now.
There you go. That's not a... There's a difference between throwing and tossing.
So apparently there's still a little bit of pain because, again, the story went on to say Murphy's going to need to be free of pain before he can begin swinging.
Everything, right.
And there's just, listen, it's like a hamstring. Any pulled muscle, no matter what it is, there's nothing you can do.
No doubt.
It's just
got to
heal.
And you don't know if it's going to go ahead. Can I, we're the show of honesty?
Yeah.
All right, one last thing and then we'll go. So we have apartments. For those of you who don't know, we have apartments right out our windows.
And I can't see them.
Yeah, yeah. Which
is like
good.
You can't see the control room, right, which is good for you. I can't see over there, which is certainly good for me.
This is the perfect setup for you and I. I can't see them. They can't piss me off until they actually don't do something. And you can't see activity because there are some people that walk out to their balconies and do other things. There's a dog right up there that's been out there for a long time now. Now, I'm not a busybody.
Does he have water or she?
I don't know. That's what I'm kind of hoping.
So we have to call somebody. If that dog's been out there for a while and there's no water.
We need to break a window?
We may have to call somebody.
I'm just...
Oh, okay.
Hold
so that's
up here in this corner up here. You see that dog?
Yeah, it's like a German Shepherd of some sort.
Yeah, where do you see a person?
I don't see a person. Not on that.
I haven't seen anyone. I haven't seen a person at all yet.
Well, if you can get me on the roof, I can throw a ball and break a window.
No, Adam, go up. Go up. You see that dog?
Yeah,
that dog ain't had a person around. And I'm not a busybody. I know enough to know that...
He or she looks like, you know, he's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Surveying the situation.
Yeah. He or she is not holding up an SOS sign for me to come rescue them.
Right. And now we got Adam Gillespie using home team's dumbbells in here. Brandon really does lift weights during breaks, doesn't he?
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I think so. How'd you do with that? You do okay? You feel all right? Broke a sweat, huh? Loosened up? A little bit done? All right.
Adam's going to have to go lay down now. I'll get back to you guys in like 20 minutes.
If that dog is still out there when I do Braves pregame tonight.
Yeah. We need to call somebody.
Then I got to call somebody.
When I say we, I mean you. I'm not going to be.
Yeah,
yeah. It's going to be the first thing from my mind.
The dog's happy. It's a beautiful looking dog, though.
Yeah, he seems happy right now, but like you said, let's monitor the situation.
I think the doll, wait, hold on. He's taking bed sheets and he's tying them together to get the hell over that. Oh, no. I hope this ends well.
Nick Saban escaped college football, but he's going to be busy on ESPN. When can you see him? We'll tell you next here on Cellini and Domino. Braves, Astros tonight, 8:10. Ford leadoff show at 6:55.
I think I might have just saved that dog. Somebody in that apartment might have been listening.
There you go.
I think the dog just went inside.
Chris Domino, you're a hero. It's Cellini and Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Thanks for tapping the app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Asahi, please inform you.
It's a little bumpy this morning, Davey. But you have to learn to fly in all kinds of weather.
Sure, Miss Ford.
I'm taking over, Davey.
생은 부승했어.
I think we took a little poetic license at the end.
That, of course, was La Bamba. 132, Cellini Domino, the Fan. Wait, I'm being told that was not La Bamba, Chris?
Tora, Tora, Tora.
Oh, I see. You were how old when you saw that movie?
Turning 7. It's all about the attack of Pearl Harbor. And
your father brought you to that movie.
Yeah, I think he wanted me to understand and appreciate history.
But I think there's other ways to do that.
There were a couple of dead bodies in the water. I do know that. Now, yeah. Did I know it was a movie? I probably knew it was a movie. Maybe.
Here's the one thing I didn't understand.
I was a little bit ahead of the curve on stuff like that.
By the way, Cellini Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. We will check in with Chuck and Chernoff in just a few minutes. Domino will have a bunch of stuff to dump on the table that we missed today. We'll go back in time, all that fun stuff. But the one thing I didn't understand, speaking of going to scary movies as a kid, I went and saw Jaws as a kid.
Uh-huh.
I was not afraid to take a shower or a bath after seeing Jaws, because even my feeble mind realized at the time, I live in Cleveland.
What was coming through the pipes?
Salt water doesn't come through the pipes. And even if salt water did come through the pipes, I don't think a shark was coming through the pipes.
Who thought that?
But there was talk that people were afraid to take showers to get in the water.
No, that's Psycho. That was the movie Psycho.
I heard that about Jaws, too.
I think you're getting your movies mixed up.
And I did see Psycho. There was a movie theater that would play older movies. Mm-hmm.
Like
the LaSalle.
For a buck, they
charged that. And actually, it was just as bad as you. So I went and saw Jaws, and I also saw Psycho at the movie theater.
Yeah, I think The Omen was sort of a ripoff of The Exorcist, so that was a little bit later. But I did see The Exorcist, like, first run, live in the movies. I think they just might have redone it, too. Like, everything that's old is new again. You asked me about, like, St. Elmo's Fire. I'm shocked they're not doing another St. Elmo's Fire. They'll do anything.
Everybody's pretty much out of ideas. The 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard Foundation Solutions. Nick Saban has a new start. Nick Saban, his first official assignment for ESPN will come a week from this Thursday as he works game day from 5 to 7 ahead of the NFL draft with fellow crew members Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, and Desmond Howard. Then on Friday, he'll do the same from 5 until 6.
Glad to be here.
He was at the 8A game. Now, big picture, what's Nick Saban's future for the first time on the outside looking in during a football season?
Are you going to be able to watch and enjoy as a fan? Are you going to be writing down some coaches' notes while you're up in the box watching? What are you going to be doing?
My biggest concern is being with my head coach, Miss Terry. I've never, ever had to watch a game with her. I'm a little concerned.
I'm not really sure.
He cracked himself up.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a different guy. He's very happy as of right now. Will he get the itch to return? I don't know what's going to happen.
No. He'll get his fill.
If he gets the itch, because I don't think he's going to coach again.
No. He'll get his fill by going to other people's sidelines and
Like Belichick is doing right now.
If he's got a couple of buddies, you know, hey, Nick, you want to come on and take a look? Spend a couple of days.
I'll say this.
I'll tell you this. His wife's going to want him out of the house.
Yeah.
I told you what happened when I went down to spring training for that second week. Towards the end of March, she was like, you got to get out of here. You're sitting here at 5:30 with a drink in your hand waiting for Jeopardy.
This is what you're doing with your evenings.
Well, when the Braves were not playing. She looked at me and said, she's coming home later.
So you're staring at a wall with a drink in your hand waiting for Jeopardy. What are you doing? Waiting for Jeopardy.
I'm not staring at a wall. I just wasn't doing much. And she would call me because she works like a real job. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. And pour a drink and getting ready for Jeopardy. Getting ready for Jeopardy, I think is what I said. That's when she
said. Like you're going to play a basketball game. You're getting ready.
Right. I got to loosen up here in a second for Jeopardy. It's in two hours. I'm getting ready.
Now the Braves are on. You get ready to watch Jeopardy, then the Braves. So at least you're doing something else now.
No, but here's the difference. No.
You're doing the pregame show now, so you're busy.
That's exactly.
What are you going to do this upcoming offseason? That's the question.
I don't know. This was empty nesting. This was no soccer. This was no travel. This was no anything. It was different. I'm not even lying. Like, I'd have a drink at 5:30, go, oh, Jeopardy's coming up. Watch the Hawks after that. I do tape Jeopardy every night. I can watch whatever I choose. But I was watching it live. Like, I really was watching it live pretty much every night.
So, on average, how many drinks do you have a night?
Oh, no. I don't think I'm drinking. Am I drinking? I'm not drinking every night.
You're not like Dennis Hopper and Hoosiers, are you?
No.
Storming out and stumbling into the yard?
No. No, I'm not screaming at anybody who's not there.
Come on, watch Jeopardy with me.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing any of that.
Come on, I bet you I beat you. I'm going to kick your ass in Jeopardy. You're not yelling at neighbors?
I don't think so. Again, who knows? Maybe I was drunk and I don't remember. I do know my... I will
never
say
blacked
this.
Out.
My liver wrote a letter and said, thank God the Braves have started. My liver wrote me a letter. I want to get along with you and everything else, but... Thank God the Braves have started.
So we're not saying Nick Saban's going to do that, but Nick Saban, as you said, will be thrown out of the house by Miss Terry like you were.
Nick Saban's going to have a moment where his wife is going to say, you got to get out of here. Please just go over to that school or that school. Do 2-3 days over there. Please. Yeah, that's what's going to happen to him. I have no doubt in my mind. He will be appearing on the sidelines. On the week. Now, do we know if he's on game day every Saturday? Is this an every Saturday thing?
I would imagine he's going to be... But I also would imagine that if he wants that to change, it can and will.
Makes you wonder.
The door is open.
Yeah.
Do you think he does a podcast? Do you think he commits to 2 times a month?
Yes.
Do you think he does like a Krzyzewski, where, I mean where he had...
Like on Sirius XM, he has his own podcast? Where I don't he know
speaks
if he wants to do that.
No, 2 times a month, where he speaks to anybody that interests him. That's what Krzyzewski does. It's not just basketball. I think Nick Saban is inquisitive. I think he's a history buff. I think he's perfect for that.
See, I think he and Belichick should do a podcast together. That's what I think.
And Belichick likes history, too. Naval history and a whole bunch of
other buddies.
Yeah, that could be different. I'm not so sure he doesn't do 2 times a month. Where he might speak to somebody, he goes, why is he speaking to Jim Lovell? Because he's interested in it. He's Nick Saban.
Explain to the folks who Jim Lovell is.
He's the man in Apollo 13. He was...
As Matt Lear would say, he's the guy that failed.
He was Tom Hanks.
Houston, we have a problem.
He's the man.
That's
that
where
failed?
The line originated.
Is that what he said?
That's what Matt Lear said, yeah.
With him. Did he land on the moon? What was he supposed to do?
I got a story for you. You want to know the God's honest truth about this?
He was supposed to land on the moon, right? Yeah. So the mission did fail.
You stay out of this. I'd say bringing back 3 men alive is a success. Right. That's just me.
He brought people back alive, but the mission itself
gotta do this again.
Did
what
fail.
What are you doing in here? You got about 5 minutes. Come on. You got about 5 minutes. I'm not kidding.
You broadcast from Radio Row at boxing matches and Super Bowls. Yeah. You can handle me having a Coke Zero. Come on. In the interest, it's baseball season. You're supposed to be in a better mood.
This is the pay it forward part of my career. I am in a better mood. I just don't understand what you're doing in here.
I don't know why. Why does this bother you so much? I don't understand.
That's funny coming from you.
I know. It's ironic coming from me.
The person who's bothered by everything.
I know. For some reason, Chuck being in here doesn't bother me.
Let me tell you a quick story about that story. You keep quiet over there, Matt Lear. That mission.
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13. Do you know who actually played a major part in getting them back down to Earth? This is a God's... Who?
What's his name? Clint Howard.
No, don't say Clint Howard. Don't say Clint Howard.
T.K. Mattingly.
It's dumb. Please.
I saw the movie. I know. It's Clint Howard. Clint Howard's brother.
Now I'm not even going to tell you. All right, I will tell you. Look it up. It's a true story. Do you know who helped put together the abort mission? for that flight or for any other flight in NASA? Jack Black's mom worked at NASA, was pregnant with Jack Black when she came up with this in 69, was on the phone with them in 70 when this was happening. She wrote up a lot of the schematics. She fixed a schematic problem that they ended up using in Apollo 13.
Wowzers.
How about that?
And that was a huge story. Like, there were...
Oh, there was
live cut-ins. Walter Cronkite was on the air live, right, when Apollo 13 broke through and landed.
So I'm going to tell you what happened.
Splashing down.
America got a little bit too complacent. Ah, who cares? We're just
doing
another
thing. It's just the moon. We've done it before. We'll do it again.
Then this was the, all right, let's go. We're Americans. We got to figure something out here. Yeah, it became a bigger story not landing on the moon than them landing on the moon.
Is it a bigger story if Rory McIlroy decides not to go to live as opposed to going to live? He and his agent both shooting down the rumor that he was going to leave the PGA Tour and join LIV for the sum of $850 million.
He might not have to leave the PGA Tour. This is all word salad. I'm never leaving the PGA Tour, but if they combine with LIV and LIV wants to give me a whole bunch of hundreds of millions of dollars to be, you know, a spokesperson, he's not denying any of that. So stop putting words into his mouth.
I will golf for the PGA Tour until the day I die.
Right.
But the loophole is, what if they merge?
Yes. Yes. And you can say, well, I've never been contacted by my agent. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't know what you consider contact. I think my version of it would be, they've talked to you about this. They've asked you. But he has not said, I'm not taking anybody's money. He's just said, I'll be on the PGA Tour.
Now, Buck said something today blaming the PGA Tour. They have not been fair to Rory McIlroy. Now, I would ask, because I'm a golf novice, Derek Thomas might know the answer better than I.
Well, he's on probation today because he editorialized the whole Rory thing.
But how have they not been fair to Rory McIlroy?
Well, because of the loyalty, there are people, Buck included, obviously.
Because what's he won? What do you want?
No, you haven't won anything. No. What they're saying is, you showed your loyalty. We should now thank you with money. You showed your loyalty. You stood up to not taking that money when we know you could have.
You haven't won a major in 10 years. So what do you want? What do you want, an attaboy?
No.
You want a nice big publisher's clearinghouse check?
Yeah, that's
because you stayed here? Well, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
You want to go to live? Go ahead.
Okay.
You haven't won anything here.
All right. You're yelling about the wrong thing.
10 years, a decade.
You're yelling about the wrong thing.
It's not my fault you hit into a bunch of condos at the Masters. It's not my problem.
I don't know if those are condos, by the way. I don't think they call them condos.
Condominiums all over the place at Augusta.
What did you call yourself? A golf what?
I'm a golf novice.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Moron, I believe is a better word. The point is, I think
there's Buck, Rory over by the condos.
I think Buck and some other people. Yeah, why don't you just say he's over by the snow cone shack? I think what they're saying is because of their loyalty, they should have gotten money. Because all these other guys, whether it was 20, 50, $60 million.
Heaven knows, they're not making a lot of money now. Sorry, I can't sign off on that. All due respect to the golf guy, Buck, the national champion, Buck.
At the end of the day,
can't sign off on it.
What did I tell you when all this started?
You want credit for staying. That's what you want.
Yeah, because you could have gone down the easy road. It's like not going to the portal.
Okay.
No, well, I'm just telling you.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I'm not giving you. Here's my offer to you. Nothing.
Okay.
You want more money? Go win some majors or a tournament.
I wanted chaos with NIL. And by the way, now they're talking about going to 72 holes. Let me ask you guys, how do you pronounce LXXII? How do you pronounce that? Because that's what the tour is going to be.
Right. It's LIV now, which is 54.
Right. And it's going to be
54 holes. Yeah.
LXXII. Ligzy.
Yeah, it doesn't really roll
off. It's the Ligzy tour.
It'll still be the LIV tour. Like the Big Ten, still the Big Ten.
The point is,
I still hate LIV.
Hates them.
I hope it goes away.
Right. This was going to be
easier. He changed his tune on that, incidentally, too.
This was going to be easier than NIL. NIL was going to have a lot of problems. The LIV Tour is going to make all these guys more money. There was never a doubt that the LIV Tour, he hits it. That's a quote from January of 2023. He hates it. But it was going to make him and everybody else more money. There was never a doubt that this influx, whether you liked them or not, they're bad people. I just asked, why couldn't it have been a little sort of kind of filthy American money or British money? Everybody would have been happier. Everybody was going to make more money out of this. There wasn't a chance there was going to be less available to guys. Not a chance. So at the end of the day, he might hit them. but the future McIlroys, three generations from now, are still going to be making.
Yeah.
They'll be okay.
No one is making less money.
No.
Because of Liv.
No.
Let's put it that way.
No. The bad guys, they don't need to win. Okay, what about me, though? Can I win?
Changes your tune a little bit, as it did with Rory after he said he hits Liv. That, of course, not quite the same sentiments now, even though he is denying this rumor that he is joining Liv. We'll talk to Chuck and Chernoff when we come back after Domino dumps some things on the table, much like Apollo 13.
Hey, gangsta, you might not want to do what you did. That's the tease.
All right. You're not specifically talking to me, but who is Domino talking to? Find out next as we wrap up a Tuesday afternoon. Cellini, Domino, here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680, 93.7 FM, and the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Casting company.
Who does number two work for?
154, Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Chuck and Chernoff, we'll talk to them momentarily. We'll go back in time momentarily, but right now it's time for Domino's dump.
Thank you. All right, why do we have to have home run prop from a professional broadcaster in a booth? Do you know that?
So the Marlins had their prop, and was it a trident?
No, that's Seattle.
Okay.
Seattle.
So this is, I get it all mixed up.
So this is Dave O'Brien talking about the trident, and I'm like, maybe just sometimes just keep your nose out of other people's business.
And I think you're absolutely right on these home run celebrations. Come up with it sort of on the fly, as opposed to what some teams are doing, like, hey, hand the guy a trident that we had an engineer, you know, 3,000 miles away, create in a lab somewhere, yeah, mail to you.
Yeah, and there's the medal. Yep. It's going to go around a little bit, like, you know. But I actually think when the year's up, you come up with something new. You don't need the laundry cart 2-3 years in a row. I mean, that was a couple years ago. Like, find something new.
Half the fun is something new.
Yeah. All right, so the Red Sox guys are letting you know, we didn't do that laundry cart thing forever. We just, we're smart enough to come up with something else. What the hell do they care what the Seattle Mariners have in their dugout? Like, how did it come to this?
Because they're doing it against us.
Was that an 8-1 ball game where you just got to go, oh, what am I going to bitch about today? They had it made. Yeah, I'm assuming Felix Hernandez didn't say, hey, fellas, let me take care of you.
J.P. Crawford ordered it off Amazon. It's a 30-pound metal trident.
Right, so what's the problem?
See, all this time I thought they were chewing gum.
He wanted something that he specifically ordered it for the home run thing.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, Dave O'Brien, what are they talking about? Now in Boston, because they got out of doing the laundry cart down the dugout, they can actually speak.
The old days of just singing Sweet Caroline.
So I don't think it's necessary.
I don't know. It can all be gold for 2.5 hours every night for 162 times.
I'm a believer that you could find something different every year. But if you're not ready to, who am I to say that you should be doing? Rise Up is done. I will speak to that one. I'm speaking, I believe, for 88% of the city when I say that should not come back. I think I speak for 88% of the city.
They got that from the Hawks, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's just
the Hawks used Rise Up like back in the late 90s for a year or two, and they're like, all right, out.
Okay. I want you to listen to this. If we listen to this to make sure there's nothing, are we okay with this?
Or are you
not
sure?
We'll see.
We're fine. No, we're good.
Okay.
Probably.
Let's find out.
Yeah. I think so. Okay.
All right. One finger on the hit this button, the other one on the dump button.
Please. I feel pretty good about it.
Okay. Do you know what this is?
Some
singing Had a Bad Day.
Yeah, but it's not really Had a Bad Day.
Not really sure aside from that what's happening.
You're sampling. You're sampling Had a Bad Day. I don't even know how you pronounce this. It's another Lil, L-I-L. Is it Mabu? Mabu? I don't know. It's some kid in a car. Mabu.
Lil Mabu.
Lil Mabu.
Not Big Mabu.
In Domino's defense, I would call him Mabu.
Yeah, I would too. I think he spells it wrong, obviously. M-A-B-U. So he's getting out of a car, and he must have a gun that's loaded enough where right before it goes off, and it goes off, and it just misses his knee. I don't know if it's a blank or not. Right before that, he puts it in his pants like a tough guy. Look at me getting out of the car. I put my gun in my pants. 3 seconds later, he pulls it out of his pants. Boom. And when you slow-mo this, whatever it is, a blank can still do damage.
Sure can.
Right down his leg. Just missed blowing off his own knee. Which means 3 seconds earlier, he blows off his own junk. I don't care what kind of bullets in that gun. How stupid are you to think that you should be looking at me? And by the way, it's Had a Bad Day. Like, why don't you just tell me it's elevator music that you're trying to rough up with a gun? Is it worth losing your junk to make a sampled You Had a Bad Day rap song?
I would say no. I don't know if he feels differently now, Mabu, but I would say no.
I don't wish harm on people. I wish it nicked them. I do. I don't want him to hit anybody else. I wish it got him right in the knee.
Not injured, just a little hurt.
The video is out there. Now, some people are saying maybe it's a stunt. Okay, if you put anything loaded in your pants, and he puts it in his pants, he obviously had no safety on. Something's in the gun because I saw it and heard it fire. It's like, this is not make-believe. He got lucky. I think he should have got a little less lucky. Let's teach a lesson.
Sometimes pain teaches you a lesson.
Right.
And more so than anything else.
Last one in the dump. I don't know because I don't know the numbers. Did you see the numbers on the Indiana Fever tickets? The jerseys are gone. The Caitlin jerseys, all sizes, were sold out very quickly.
I got a fever. The only prescription is Caitlin Clark.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you think there's a chance her salaries for the 4 years are 76, 78, 85, 97 if they pick it up? So it's 3 years plus a fourth year option. Let's go with all 4 years. I don't know the numbers and how it works. I don't know how the overhead works. From the amount of tickets they just sold, do you think they paid for her entire 4 year salary yesterday, day of the draft?
I mean, it seems that way.
No. Not in arena stuff, not in. In pure tickets, do you think now she cost nothing in pure tickets?
Yeah.
They paid for her entire 4 years of salary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
They have, I saw this, Las Vegas is doing this, and I assume other teams will do it, but they're already moving the Fever games.
Yeah, I saw that.
To different arenas and
they're
stuff.
On TV. That, I don't know if that gets you more. I'm asking. So that's 160, 240 and change. That's $360-something thousand. Do you think about 340. Do you think they sold $340,000 of tickets? Not, no, overhead, like profit, where they just paid for her yesterday.
I would say so, yeah.
Wow. That's an investment.
I'll put it this way.
That's an investment.
If a WNBA team couldn't achieve what you just said with Caitlin Clark, shut the league down because you're never going to turn a profit.
I know what I said about it in the past. Maybe it's out of that stage. I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows.
I just, again, I go back to the Rose Bowl and women's soccer in 99 and how everybody was obsessed with it, and rightfully so. It was a great experience. It wasn't sustained. I just don't know if you can sustain it.
I'm older than you. The New York Cosmos.
Soccer Bowl 78.
Yeah, they were supposed to make against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Right. It was supposed to be a big deal. We spoke about John Sterling. Do you know who got the first?
John Sterling retired suddenly. After 5,000
games. He's 85.
Games.
There's nothing sudden at 85.
Well, they were supposed to.
If you retire at 42 out of the broadcast booth, that's sudden.
Well, it was sudden because all of a sudden the story started to leak and the Yankees said they were going to hold a press conference on Friday. And then all of a sudden they said, no, he's done. Effective immediately, John Sterling.
He is doing a press conference, I think, on Saturday still. I think he's still doing a press conference. He's had some health stuff in the past. Do you know who won the first game that he called for the New York Yankees? If you want to figure out.
What year? 89?
So 5,000
games.
Yeah,
91.
I think earlier.
It's 91.
Yeah. Tommy John got the win in the first game he called. No, it had to be early. Yeah.
That was 91.
Yeah, it might have been. And the highest paid player on the Yankees was Don Mattingly at $2.2 million. Dave Winfield's big contract made him 1.9.
Ooh. And that was a crazy deal, remember.
Yeah.
The 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Southern Exteriors, the Southeast premier home exterior solution. Quality and precision you can rely on for over 20 years. Visit southernexterior.co. That's it, as in Chuck Oliver.
Oh, I see that. Now I get it.
That's what it's called. So the Braves back in Houston tonight, and Darius Vines did join us earlier. We asked him about sweating. He said he's a sweater, but we said use that to your advantage. And he also said that he doesn't know anything yet as far as if he's going to get his next turn in the rotation. I'd like to believe, Chris, he has earned.
Well, he's still there. That right. He's still there. That's the good sign. He didn't have to go home. They kept him in Houston. As far as I know, he called us from Houston.
Oh, yeah. Alan Winans, thanks for the start. Julio Teheran, thanks for the start. You're out. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Do you know we have a picture up on the 680 The Fan account? Mm-hmm. If you want to see how you hold a circle change, go look at Darius Vines. That's a beautiful. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not telling you we put it up there for that, but I'm looking at it. That is a beautiful picture of what how you want to actually hold a circle change. And if he can get people out with that and a couple other pitches, maybe you don't have to throw 97 because he doesn't.
And we talked to Jeff Francoeur a couple of times about why people are getting hurt, and I just think you're specializing, you're throwing too much. I mean, you say it all the time, as a pitcher at the major league level, you only have so many pitches in your arm. Well, you're using a lot of those bullets if you're playing baseball year-round. I did it, so I'm guilty of it, but in retrospect, I don't think it was the right thing to do, play baseball year-round.
There's also not even a trend. Like,
when I say I did it, I coached it. My son did it.
Jacob DeGrom does this, Scherzer almost. Like, I'm not throwing fastballs anymore. My fastball is now a slider. And so every pitch is a twist, a torque, a turn. And
did you see what the Boston Red Sox are doing? And I think they still might have the best ERA in baseball. They're trying to pull back a little bit. Now, I'm not telling you they have guys who can throw 99 and they're telling them to pull back. But their plan, and it'll take a couple of years to figure out if this is really a thing, they want guys to less effort all the time, pull it back, pitch to quadrants, pitch to a zone, work a corner, work up, work down, work
in. Kind of what Vines did last night.
But can you do that with a rotation? And do you think that will save you? Because that's what bought. Look,
you can't
they don't have 99 mile an hour heat guys that just said, hey, throw 90 instead.
Could DeGrom have pitched to a 3 ERA instead of a 1.9?
Right. And like, maybe he'd been healthier.
I think.
I mean,
Strasburg, maybe?
Guys like that could do it. But, you know, you go back to what Kenley Jansen said over the weekend. He has no feel for the baseball. The baseball's different now, so you can't really hit your spots anymore. If a veteran like that can't do it, who can?
I had guys telling me, oh, you're crazy. The baseball's got as much to do with home runs as the steroids. No, I'm sticking to my guns in that. They made a baseball that absolutely had every bit as much to do with home runs as steroids. I think now it is not stupid to believe that something from 1887 rosin, 1954 Delaware mud, and we've gone no further than that. No further than that. That's the night. Am I right about that? That's the 19th century. Rosin was used in the 19th century. Abe Lincoln was dead for 22 years. That's what we're talking about.
Rest in peace.
Wyatt Earp was still alive when they decided rosin was going to be what everybody was going to use. So antiquated.
Wyatt Earp was slapping Billy Bob Thornton around the casino when rosin was used. It's a very fair statement, Chris.
Thank you. Trying to help.
And speaking of history, let's go back in time. Today is the 16th of April. Let's talk about some things that happened on this date and beyond. The short film The Music Box, Domino. I know this is near and dear to your heart. Starring Laurel and Hardy was released. It goes on to win the Academy Award for Best Live Action Short Film.
Some of it still cracks me up. The Marx Brothers crack me up, a little Laurel and Hardy. It's like reggae. I don't want a lot of it. Just give me a little burst, and I'm going to find it entertaining.
There was a guy, Joe Esposito, that lived in our neighborhood, and he looked like Oliver Hardy. So when we were kids, whenever he walked by, we would do this.
You're lucky you didn't catch a slap every time you did it.
Nice kid, Joe.
Yeah, the mustache.
Heavier fella?
Yeah. Here comes Joe.
Could he have caught you if he wanted to?
No. No way.
Okay. That's what I'm
assuming.
I don't
think
the child's mind if
you're
that out.
I don't think Joe ever ran in his whole life. He never ran.
You were never nervous to do that to an adult in your neighborhood.
We were stupid. We didn't know.
Okay.
He had to have heard us. But we didn't, you know, back then when you're little, you don't think people can hear you. It's like when a little kid's in the other room and he's, you can't see him, so he doesn't think.
You were doing that, weren't you?
He can go through the cookie jar. You won't hear him going through the cookie jar.
Yeah, what's the difference between you and Joe Esposito?
None.
He had a mustache.
Right. I didn't have a mustache.
Do you think they were doing that to you behind your back?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Here My comes Cellini.
Hey, I don't even know. He might be Joe Esposito's kid.
Hey, it's Nick Esposito.
My mom had Crap Your Pants Potter, but they used a different word in the neighborhood back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, well, I mean.
He was the one that everybody knew. Well, all probably, the kids knew Crap Your Pants Potter.
You knew he was coming a mile away. 1943.
True story.
Yeah. Swiss scientist Dr. Albert Hofmann discovers the psychedelic effects of LSD. The lysergic, as George Harrison used to call it.
What did they have to discover? Like, I don't...
I mean, what was it originally for? Someone will know on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, what cocaine was originally, you know, there was a... It was a pharmaceutical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, meth was what German pilots during World War II. Fly forever.
We need you.
Yeah. Then President Kennedy got hold of it and loved it.
And you need this. That's alleged. Down the hall.
Down the hall is right.
Please.
Oh, he couldn't get enough.
I just don't understand.
Remember, he had a back injury.
Yeah.
That's what they used to
tell. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying there wasn't a reason.
Yeah. He had a back injury.
I was flying around the world over and over and over again. I don't need sleep.
Do you think a German pilot ever looked down and realized he was over Australia?
Damn.
How long have I been up here?
I am the Red Baron. He doesn't even have a gun. He's just making that noise.
Well, on LSD, you better believe somebody was the Red Baron on LSD. Jeez. I don't know if LSD works where it's one of the last things you've seen. That might be what you're thrown into. But think about that. You watch a show, you do LSD, and you start doing maybe recency, the thing you just saw.
Well, I've always heard sometimes you don't come back from it, man.
Oh, you get like, is it crossing your eyes in front of the TV?
Yeah.
Or sitting too close to the TV?
Look at poor Brian Wilson. He never came back from that.
You think it was LSD driven?
Didn't help.
You really think it was LSD?
That guy was doing LSD on a daily basis.
You don't think he was having some problems
He had problems before that, but whatever problems you have, I think LSD exacerbates those problems.
And I'm not going to do LSD.
That's actually a hell of an endorsement if he kept doing it over and over and over.
Yeah, but I think people gave it to him after a while to keep him under the
thumb. Oh, let's keep him goofed up?
Yeah, I think so. He wouldn't be the only one.
1962 on this date, Walter Cronkite begins anchoring the CBS Evening News.
You can laugh over it. Oh, that's the way it is. Or sardonic, that's the way it is. You know, or sad, well, that's the way it is.
That's him explaining.
What's it, giving away all the secrets?
His out cue and what and why he did it.
So were there different occasions? Like if there was an upbeat story at the end, if there was a downbeat story at the end, is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Can I hear that one more time? Do you think that's what he's saying?
I think so.
Okay, based upon maybe the last story of the
night. I watched this interview, yeah.
You can laugh over it. Oh, that's the way it is. Or sardonic, that's the way it is. You know, or sad, well, that's the way it is.
I think it's genius. No matter what the final story is, your line is your line. Yeah. You deliver it, though, in those different ways.
Yeah. Depending upon probably the last
story. That guy wasn't just a teleprompter reader. That guy went out and did things. Like, he went to Vietnam, he was on the air with Apollo 13, like we said, when President Kennedy died, he made the announcement. I mean, he was in the thick of it, man.
Trust it. That was the big thing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
like you, Domino.
His Q rating in terms of trust.
Oh,
nobody was trusted more in America.
He had the title.
Yeah.
You should think about doing that at the end of every broadcast.
And that's the way it is.
No. That's his. I got to come up with something else.
And you just saw it.
Oh, no. Me, I'm doing a dump at the end of the show. I'm 61 years old. I got something called a dump to finish up a show.
Does kind of make you wonder how you got here.
Jeez.
1993 on this date, David Lee Roth arrested in New York City for purchasing marijuana for $10. You want to talk about things changing?
I was just looking for the ice cream man. Zippity boppity zippity bop.
This guy's the same.
What year is this?
This is 1993.
What are you getting for $10 in 93? I was back at
oregano, pencil shavings.
I was down here.
Half a joint.
Maybe he said, I'm David Lee Roth, and for $10, you can say you sold pot to David Lee Roth. Hey!
What was he looking for, a trade deal?
There's something wrong with this guy.
I was buying weed.
You ever hear him interviewed?
Yeah.
He laughs over the top at everything he says. Something's not right.
I agree with that.
He doesn't think his career's over either. Or that his career has peaked. He thinks he's still...
He's got one more in him?
Yep. Good for him.
No, I think there's something a little bit goofy.
Ironically, he wrote Change, Nothing Stays the Same. He stayed the same for 40-plus years. He hasn't changed at all. Like Sammy Hagar said, I tried to interact with the guy.
What's
when
the
we
picture?
Were touring together, he's a weirdo. I can't have a conversation with the guy.
What's the picture where he's being carried away by four people? What's that from?
That might be from...
Why am I... Well, I know the picture. Hey, man, I'm so crazy.
I think it's from Panama.
It takes four people. Right, it takes four people to get me out of here. Mm-hmm.
This, of course...
No, it wouldn't.
In the old days.
Mr. Karate Man. No, it wouldn't.
Van Halen, he played the guitar at the start of this song. Anyway. 2017, on this date, the world record for the gathering of Charlie Chaplin lookalikes happened. 662 gathered on this date. Today's also Charlie Chaplin's birthday.
Well, that's why they did it then. That's annoying.
No way there are groupies for them, right?
I'm just trying to...
That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
This is annoying in and of itself. I don't get Charlie Chaplin.
Well,
there's nothing funny about it.
He was breakthrough.
Anybody could have done what he did.
Can I go back?
You're wrong about it.
Anybody.
One, it was only one song. What are you doing playing guitar in a band with Van Halen in it?
Well, it's just this thing.
May I?
They loved it. The stage act, the live act. It was a big part of the live act.
May I? Because you have to prove that you could.
Yeah.
That's why.
Okay.
Like Freddie Mercury would come out and play the guitar for this Crazy thing. Little Thing
yeah.
Called Love.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't really play it all that well, but he just wanted to as part of the act.
This is what I do.
Right.
Now I'm going to put this down. I'm going to do the other thing that I do. I just want you to know that I do this.
Right.
You're wrong about Chaplin. Again, you can't watch five movies in a row.
I put my shoes on the wrong foot. I have a Hitler mustache.
Eating the shoe leather.
Yeah. What's funny about that?
And eat the shoe leather, too?
We can sit down, and you're not going to laugh. Okay. You and I watch Charlie Chaplin, one of those movies, not that I would, but for the sake of, if we were to experiment,
right.
For the sake of the show, you're not going to laugh, and I'm not going to laugh. You're going to sit here and go, this is ridiculous.
I think the thing that you don't understand
I'm going to laugh when I watch The Three Stooges. I'm not going to laugh when I see Charlie Chaplin dancing around. Eating shoes,
Marx
as Chuck
Brothers,
said.
Three Stooges, more timeless. But you got to understand the times. This is like people are just amazed at anything being up on a screen in front of them, let alone a guy who can stick forks into some bread.
Right.
And start, you know, dancing with it. I mean, there is a time element
to
this.
Yeah, that's great. It's awesome.
It's also why nobody ever smiled in pictures back in those days.
It's awesome. Look, he's making two loaves of bread look like feet. It's hysterical. How does he do it?
In 1921.
I'll tell you how he does it. He puts two sticks in two loaves of bread.
In 1921, you got to understand what's not happening in the world back then. That was a breakthrough, a guy sticking two forks
he's
in bread.
Hungry. He's eating the shoe. he's eating the shoe.
Do you understand what a success was based on? Do you understand what a success was based on?
What?
The character was. He's the guy fighting the guy. He's the guy fighting the guy.
Yeah.
That's what he was. He
during
was
a depression. Yeah.
Well,
he was fighting
before,
the man.
Right. Even before that, he had to be. He was a character. What do you want?
Okay, but why didn't somebody think when you posed for a picture that if you showed some teeth and, I don't know, like.
Oh, you're talking about the one where they had that flashy bulb?
Yeah. Nobody ever smiled. Everybody looked. Every picture of your
honest,
grandparents
Matt.
And my grandparents, they look like they're in pain.
What was there to be happy about? I'm asking.
Something.
Really?
If you were laughing at Charlie Chaplin, apparently not a lot.
I mean,
that was your comic relief.
I don't know. You never laughed during the day in 1918?
Mike Mitchell, not the basketball player or the football player. Oh. He was the guitarist for the Kingsmen. He passed away at the age of 77 on this day.
Oh, no. What year?
In 2021.
Oh.
Got no idea what this song says.
You lost him, too? What's it about?
It's about being on a ship.
You got to go.
And you want to get off the ship.
So you don't think this
and
is...
while you're on the ship, you're dreaming of your girl.
Is this hidden
and I
meaning?
Think you're, well, you're doing a little something while you're thinking about the girl. Yeah.
Oh. Shebop?
While on the ship, me dream she there. You smell the rose in her hair. He's thinking about it. We got to go.
Are you saying he called his junk Louie?
No. I think he's just talking to the other
having some me time
people, or maybe
this song
did.
Is about insisting you wear a condom during sex.
I don't know if that's it, Chuck.
It might be. I don't know.
They didn't have condoms in the 60s. I mean, come on.
They did. They weren't.
Did they work as effectively?
No, they weren't used.
Tell me, there were no prophylactics in the 60s?
There were.
Is that what you're saying, Chuck?
There were, Chuck.
Did you get that, Cullen? By the way. All right, just want to make sure.
Did you think historically you were accurate with that one?
I know that they were condoms. Was it a big deal?
Well,
there were no bad diseases. Not there were or fewer bad diseases.
Well, the problem
everybody had fewer bad diseases.
You had the clap.
Yeah, the problem is then if you got somebody pregnant, they had to go away.
Shots.
They'd send them away.
Shots. You got your shots. What do you got? Oh, you got that? Get a shot. I wouldn't want to live like that.
Me either. Pat Summerall passed away on this date in 2013 at the age of 82.
You should have put another story in between. Watch this.
30-27, and Atlanta goes to Miami.
Watch this. In 3, 2, 1, go ahead.
Yeah, he had money on the Vikings. He lost a lot of money.
Said it like a week 3 call. You know, it's September money. When somebody wins.
He's been telling
me
this.
Cash.
And we didn't hear that because we were on the field.
Yeah, we lived it.
I heard it later when we're working together. And the first thing, so this is 98, so we probably heard it right after that.
You know, I've never watched that game.
26 years later, you still got the same thing.
I never watched the TV version of that game.
I don't know if Nick's right or wrong. I know this. It's one of the more underwhelming calls for one of the great playoff games.
I
know
that.
Listen, that didn't involve Dallas and San Francisco. That was one of the great four-quarter overtime playoff games ever.
I agree with the idea that, especially as a guy who was rooting for the good guys, to hear that was underwhelming.
I was in high school before I found out he was a player. I was just used to the role play-by-play. Well, you're the professional broadcaster, color analyst. You're the former coach or player. I was like, wait a minute, what?
And he was an analyst before he went to play-by-play.
Yeah.
He
think about this, too, by the way. That was a 15-1 versus a 14-2, and Summerall sounded like we were putting him out.
Man, it looks like the Falcons are going to Miami. How about that, John?
I mean, put some oomph in it, man.
I know.
Give us something.
It's more insulting because it's a team you root for.
Can I tell you? Jeff Hollinger.
Much better.
Way better. He was second in the booth, though, to the Van Note.
Screaming.
Jeff Hollinger ended up in section 310. He fell out of the booth.
Like, Jeff Hollinger, he as excited as that was, he was second in the booth, and then this is what you get on the national broadcast.
That's true. Selena would have celebrated her 53rd birthday today. She passed away. 95 at the age of 23. I didn't know who she was until all this happened.
Yeah, until the movie came out, I really didn't know.
Yeah.
Howard Stern did a bit that I remember hearing that got him in a lot of trouble.
International, she hadn't really, had she broken in America yet?
The next step, so. But never happened. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar celebrates his 77th birthday today.
Everybody's waving their arms.
This is him becoming the all-time leading scorer. Check her out.
Right hand, 12-footer, good! Pitchers tell the word. They love their captain.
So this is 87. And if you watch that play, at that point, now they won the world title that year. But at that point, he can't run anymore. They would have to wait for him.
Yes.
On that particular play.
There was no more showtime if they wanted him involved.
No, the camera's focused on the half court, and he's not in the picture for a good second and a half, 2 seconds.
They worked out a deal. I want to say it was the Miami Heat, maybe. One of the expansion teams, because they couldn't protect him in the expansion draft, and so they worked out a deal where they threw a draft pick to, I think, the Heat.
To stay away.
To not take Kareem, because the Heat were like, hell, we're going to draft him. He's going to set the record in our uniform. And so they worked out some sort of deal with Miami.
I thought Winning Time did a good job, though, dealing with the battle of, like, Kareem's style of ball and Showtime, because he didn't want to play the run-and-gun, up-and-down magic ball he wanted to have.
But at a point, he couldn't.
No.
You know, like, if they wanted, they could Showtime. It just meant Kareem was going to be down on the other end, which might not be so bad either, because he's ready to play defense.
Here's the funny part, right? This is the great generational argument. How the hell would Kareem function today?
Well, who would stop him, though? I'll counter with that.
I would ask, can he hit a jump shot?
Oh, no, no,
draft
no,
him.
No, he's
Nick, he that's
would
the
still
problem.
Be a
nobody
post player.
Take
yeah. He's
yeah.
a post player. He'd still be a post guy.
But the problem
there's no post guys in the NBA solely anymore. There's you've got to be a post guy.
He'd learn something. I know. But he'd learn how to.
Do you think?
Well, he's prolific enough to. I'm not doubting the fact that he would have figured
the ball
something out.
And
but he would have figured something out.
Okay.
Let's not. Listen, he's not Joe Slappy.
I'm not saying he is, but I don't know that he could put the ball down at
something
15 feet.
I'll give you this. Do you think there were three
silhouettes? I think Bill Walton would be great in today's game.
Oh, as good a passer as he was.
And he could handle the ball.
Yep.
I think you saw McHale do that stuff, too, where he started extending with his jump shot.
Do you think there were three more recognizable silhouettes. If you just did a silhouette of an athlete, you take the Skyhook. But there are three more recognizable silhouettes.
You certainly would know that's Kareem if you're of a certain age.
Yeah.
That's his signature, sure.
Yeah, there's not many more than like watching him with the
Jordan and the Jumpman. Jordan and the Jumpman, because of the dunk contest, no doubt about it, is a silhouette that plays and has. But Kareem Skyhook would be right up there with it.
Speaking of legends, Jerry Rafferty would have celebrated his 77th birthday today.
Why would we include him in the legends?
CBS announcer?
No. This is
singer Rafferty.
Jerry Rafferty, not Bill Rafferty.
Sorry.
I'll take Bill Rafferty.
Would have been 77.
I'll take him every day of the week over Jerry. That's me.
Oh, that's hateful.
Yeah, no, that's me.
Very hateful.
I'm more entertained by Bill than I've ever been by Jerry. That's all.
Jerry Rafferty is 50 times more talented than Charlie Chaplin. I said it.
Okay.
He couldn't sing this. He couldn't sing Stuck in the Middle with You, Charlie Chaplin.
Do you
Chaplin.
Know that?
I'll assume it.
I don't even know. Okay, you can assume it. 50? Did you say 50 times more? Sure. If you'll feel better on a Tuesday, you're right. 50 times more talented.
This guy played Tackleberry in Police Academy. Also had this cameo in Seinfeld. David Graff.
Excuse me, officer. There's a guy outside, and he's kind of a nut job, and I think he's waiting to beat me up. If you could just walk me outside and wait till I get into a cab.
Yeah, all right. Just let me get a muffin.
Thanks. He's going to get a muffin, then he'll walk us outside.
This is the crazy Joe DeFola episode.
What are you looking at the menu for? I thought you said he was going to get a muffin.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I decided to get a sandwich. What happened to the muffin?
I got a little hungry.
You got a problem with that?
No. Enjoy your lunch. You know, a muffin can be very filling.
Of course, he was a police officer, again, kind of a takeoff, if you will, on his character in Police Academy.
What a bunch of useless dialogue that is just perfect.
Yep. It's Larry David to a T.
$900 million, is that what we said, Seinfeld? Is $700 million or whatever?
Well, Larry David's worth $800 million. I know that.
Jerry and Larry made the money.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This man would have celebrated his 87th birthday, George the Animal Steel.
George, I give you a little bit of shock treatment. Just a little bit.
Look at that.
That's coming up, George. You'll feel wonderful. George, look at the intelligence in his eyes. Look at the bubbling is coming up. It's coming up. It's working. Wonderful.
Captain Lou
Albano. Oh, George is smiling. Intelligent smile, George.
Listen to this.
Say, George, animal. Say something, animal. We got it.
There's more, Chris.
George, I speak to you. George, you wonderful son. I feel so good.
This is acting. Then he says, how now, brown cow?
So can I ask, play the guy who seems to be in charge of the experiment, but hold on.
He's the doctor.
After I tell you this.
Then Lou Albano goes, what happened to him, you quack?
I know the guy, I think, wanders in and out of the accent.
Yeah.
Because I think at first he's supposed to be German, but hold on.
This is a one-take deal.
But I think he turns into Geppetto. I think he thinks, okay, I'm going to go the Geppetto route. Listen to this.
George, I give you a little bit of shock treatment. Just a little bit.
Look at that.
That's coming up, George. You'll feel wonderful. George, look at the intelligence in his eyes. The bubbling is coming up. It's coming up. It's working. Wonderful. Wait. Working out. Oh, George is smiling. Intelligent smile, George. Animal.
I want a little boy. I want a boy.
Tomato, what did you think about the whole animal bit that he would kidnap Miss Elizabeth? That's all he was had an obsession with her, kind of a stalker.
He said Randy Savage, they went over and over and over the whole thing of her getting in and out of the ring when they went through that whole thing. He said it took forever to go through it. He said that when he...
What took forever?
Just, he wanted her to get in right so nobody could see up her dress.
Oh, she would always bend down with the lace. She had a very specific way to go under the third rope.
Then McMahon said, at one point you grab her leg and Savage went nuts. I know this is a rib. You're just trying to get the best of me. Steele said when Savage would write out his whole match, like pages of notebook paper. So he gives Steele the notebook and George goes, I open the notebook, tear a page out, throw it out. Oh, Randy grunts. Tear another one out. Oh. He says, look, just follow my lead. I'm not going to remember any of this.
First of all, George only did three things in the ring.
That's what he said. He goes, wait, I can't do all this.
Right, he'd bit a turnbuckle, he'd go, yell to the crowd, but it was and then he would go and pick up Miss Elizabeth.
Wait, think about it. In the days before the internet, this guy was a teacher and a high school football coach in Detroit. But nobody knew that because there was no internet. Then he'd go and be George the Animal Steel. He was Coach George Myers.
How many years in did he quit the coaching thing?
I think eventually he quit by about the mid-'80s.
Okay.
Did he ever make big money, though?
I don't think so. Neither I mean, he worked behind the scenes a lot, too. But he was a really good high school football coach, from what I understand.
He could have used a back shave.
No, it was part of the character.
I guess. Like,
I think that was his finishing move, though, was like you didn't want him to touch you.
So was this like he thought Miss Elizabeth, like Kong,
yes,
as in King Kong, was going to eventually see beyond the beast?
Right.
Correct.
Interesting.
But she always was scared of him, and Randy would always wonder if he was, you know, looking over his shoulder, what George would take her, the whole thing.
And George said right before we would go out, we'd be standing in Gorilla, the position right behind the curtain, because that's where Gorilla Monsoon used to be all the time. So he said, don't worry, we'll be all right. You know, I'm old enough to be her father, but I have had a great run with some young broads, and he'd go out there. He'd rile them up right before they went out there.
God, they love to get under a Macho Man's skin knowing his kryptonite.
That was so easy to do it. Bobby Vinton's birthday is today, the Polish prince.
Still with us?
Yep, 89 years old.
Nice.
Bobby Vinton sent us champagne.
She wore blue velvet. I don't know if you knew that.
She wore blue.
She did.
So this guy's got to be someplace, right? Singing still?
God, I hope not.
God, see, I'm going to take the... I hope so.
At 89?
I hope he's doing
something, something.
10 shows a year.
Entertainers entertain, man.
Branson, where he can get in an elevator straight down.
So according to this, he has not toured in 10 years.
Well, I was hoping he was doing 10 shows.
Branson's not touring. He's somewhere. Bay St. Louis.
Now, according to this, he did play the Bobby Vinton Blue Velvet Theater in Branson. I don't know if he still does.
Thank you, Chuck. You nailed it.
This was in the 80s and 90s. I don't know if he still does.
I want to hope he still has 10 shows a year in. It might not be good, but I hope he just... Somebody wants to hear. Don't you think... I don't want to call it an old age home. I don't want to call it a retirement home. That's a little insulting. Not to the people in it, for Bobby Vinton. Something bigger than a retirement home a few times a year calls up and says,
what about the place you're going to work in Northport?
Right. Let's get Bobby Vinton. It'd be great. I hope he's afforded those.
You talk to the operator of the property. You say, like, I'm Chris the bartender. I know Bobby Vinton. I can get him here.
If he did one of those free, like, we have the Woodstock amphitheater. If he did Bobby Vinton on a Saturday night, would it draw?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
That's sad.
You have to have a couple of other older acts.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons would draw.
Yes.
Yes.
Not Bobby Vinton.
Frankie Valli and the Dodgers.
You better put scheduled to appear. Like, that scheduled to appear.
I get nervous. At what age should I say, oh, somebody's going to be playing in October? Like, even with Tony Bennett at the end.
Scheduled.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
I saw Tony Bennett with Lady Gaga down in the Bahamas. They were doing that
man.
Whole, yeah, hey, Tony, how you doing?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing okay.
That's what I should have done. I should have shaved my head like you did.
Yeah.
That's what I should have done.
Okay, so when I saw...
I tell you, man, you're cutting edge.
Every time that I saw...
Want to do a spleef with me?
Tony Bennett's going to be appearing here in 10 months. Is he? I hope so.
Schedule.
It just seems a
Tony
long
Bennett
way
never
out.
Bought a $10 bag, did he?
Nah, man. Too many stems and seeds in that. I do the blend. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you don't know.
I really don't. Want to thank Jeff Rancor and Darius Vines for joining us. Cullen Madden, Ryan Gebhardt, Derek Thomas, Adam Gillespie, and Matt Lear. Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Domino Cellini, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air.
deep center field and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.